Welcome to the Plant Grow Reap podcast.
Welcome back to Plant Grow Reap. I'm Sammy. Today we're back with a second episode featuring some of the Gen Z team members here at Aintree Group. If you haven't already listened to our first episode on this topic, episode 27, I highly recommend adding it to your queue. It sets the stage for some of the conversations we're continuing today. I'm joined today by Izzy, Sophie, and Kane. We're diving a little deeper into the values, motivations, and experiences shaping our generation's role in the workforce. Let's get into it. Our very first question is regarding... Our very first question is, previous generations have been known to tie their self-worth and identity to their work. What does a meaningful work look like to you? For me personally, I think meaningful work is definitely something I'm looking for when it comes to looking for jobs or career-wise even. The work has to be, it either has to align with my values or it has to be somewhat satisfying in that I'm not coming to work and feeling like maybe it's not what I'm interested in or not something I'm personally passionate about. I know that's maybe not a sentiment shared by everyone. I do know I have classmates who say things like, oh, you know, it's not my favorite thing, but I don't mind, work is work. Or maybe there isn't that expectation where we have to necessarily enjoy the work that we do. But I think for me at least, and I would expect for most of us here at Aintree Group, we do actually enjoy the work that we get to do, which is really nice. But if anyone else wanted to jump in?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think if you look at it, especially like if you see the corporate culture videos on TikTok, you see a lot of people being upset when they're at work. And I've seen so many people who are like, oh my God, this is my third cry of the week at work. And I just couldn't relate to that at all. Like, I feel like I come to work, I enjoy what I do, I have lunch with my friends that I've made here. And like, it's really nice to come to work and do that. And I think it will be hard if I, you know, move on from Aintree Group to also find that in a corporate setting, which is often the place where people are the most unhappy from what I've heard. And even like other people at uni who are paralegals or legal assistants feeling very drained from work, whereas like I come to work and it's almost like a day off. You know, compared to like uni where you're, you know, tied down and you have to do all this somewhat boring work. And then you come here and it's kind of applying it, but also in a nice environment.
Izzy and I were actually talking about this once when we were coming back from Pilates, I think. And because I know this sort of comes off like we're sucking up, but genuinely, like this is a sentiment we share. We were coming back from Pilates and we were talking about going to work, and maybe one of our friends who doesn't really like going to work, and we essentially were like, oh, but we actually like, yeah, work is work, but we don't dread coming here like some people might. Like, we actually like it and we get along with everyone, which is really great, and we get to do fun things like this. Yeah. Which definitely adds, or like at least enriches our experience here.
And but I feel like it's so nice that you guys work so close as well, and you share the same passion for it's so nice that you guys work so closely together and you do share the same passion, and you're obviously both studying the same degree. I feel like that's a big part of coming to work and looking forward to actually working.
Unlike the operations team, which is studying completely different.
Well, I was actually going to touch on that because I feel like for me, meaningful work will change throughout my career. Like at the moment, I'm an operations coordinator. And obviously for the accounting team, but I'm about to graduate with a banking and finance degree. So it will change next year when I move into the industry that I'm more passionate about and more aligned to. But at the moment I find meaningful work in making a difference to clients, and I get great satisfaction from like getting things done.
Yeah.
I just love being productive. But obviously when I move into the industry that I'm studying, I feel like I'll get find it more meaningful when I'm doing things that I'm actually passionate about. So whether that's investing or banking or whatever that is, I think I'll find more meaningful or more meaning from that.
Yeah.
But I think it does like kind of progress throughout your career. I feel like, and when you're in different roles,
your like experience here as well will really help you when you work, move into that industry. Well, you're still sort of same industry, but working in like maybe a bigger company and still getting that client satisfaction. I think maybe it might be a bit harder to have that client relationship in a bigger company, but I think your experience here would probably help that a lot.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine. And I feel like for all of us, especially because we're obviously younger, And we're learning so much in our roles. It's really. I need a synonym for meaningful, guys.
No, it's good. It's good.
And you're really good at your job.
But like, I feel like it's so it's really look forward to coming to work because you're learning so much.
Mm.
What about you, Kate?
I completely agree with what you were saying. Like, obviously, my course and the career that I'll be diving into in the future is nothing alike.
Do you want to remind listeners?
I'm studying film and I work in, I specialize in music videos and
he's really good.
Short length films. Thank you very much. I do lighting and editing. So that's why I'm here editing these podcasts for Aintree Group. But I think that my time here, they've done a really good job at tailoring to the skills that I already have from my other career path or that I'm building for that career path. So a lot of my job is practical, hands-on. So I think what's really good with us together as operations coordinators, but what Amy has also really honed in on is the fact that I'm not so much good at sitting at a desk and standing still for more than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Know your strengths.
So, and I think she does that really well. Like
yeah, she's good at that.
When the orders come in for Woolworths or, you know, I'm like the hardware closet needs to be sorted, I kind of do that stuff. And then you kind of do the admin stuff that my brain just can't comprehend yet.
Yeah.
And it works because Monday I spent all day in the IT closet sorting all of the cables and getting everything together, which is exactly what my job is on set. I'm sorting cables and making lights work and, you know, positioning stuff and lifting things. And that's exactly
really
what I do.
It's beneficial that we have such different working styles for our team because we do like office management, but then a lot of admin.
If neither
I feel
of
like
us,
we complement each other quite well.
If neither of us worked like do, like very critical thinking and good with the tech stuff, it would be a really confusing and difficult environment. And I think vice versa, if neither of us like doing the practical stuff of like...
Yeah, because like I get sick of it.
I know you do, which is exactly why they hired me. I think that's my purpose at this company.
If I can go off that, Kane, the next talking point is about purpose and passion. So whether meaningful work is about purpose and passion or if it's just about providing the means to live a meaningful life outside of work, I think all of us touched on how we're studying things we're actually interested in, which is really great. I've been in a class this year I don't know if I'm about to like name drop the name of the year, but it's to do with critical management studies. And it's a lot of it is critical perspectives on the working world or maybe the role work plays in society. Mm-hmm. And I read there was a really interesting reading we had to do that was about the possibility of a world existing post-work. And the idea is that with the increased use of technology, AI will at some point potentially come to replace the more mundane operational side of things.
No.
And then, hold on, hear me out, and then give us or like workers free rein to do the sort of work that they are more personally drawn towards. So whether that actually indeed be legal or admin work, sure, that's fine. But there's this idea that a lot of people actually might prefer more creative things and end up choosing more lucrative paths and foregoing like that side of themselves. So I think I wanted to ask, in this reading, they mentioned something about how for Americans, I think it was, a really big part of their identity is what they do at work, even if what they do at work is not necessarily what they actually care about. So when you guys introduce yourselves, do you consider what you like do you consider what you do at work as being part of that, or do you consider like your passions or even like in the future, like so if you're coming into banking and finance, like do you think you're going to include that in your introduction, like oh I'm Sophie, I work in, I don't really understand banking and finance, but I work in banking and finance.
Says a commerce girl.
Because I work in management. I don't work with like that. do you think that's going to actually form a really big part of our identity just because we are able to go into areas of work that we like? Or
it's so funny that you asked that because I was thinking about that yesterday while I was in the shower.
TMI.
I had an existential crisis.
Yes.
Because the last time I was at a party and someone asked what I did, I didn't mention Aintree Group at all. I said I work in film.
Yeah.
Which
I understand for you because as you said,
it makes sense.
There's a big difference.
But also this is my job.
That's
like,
true.
Like this is what I spend 15 plus hours a week working on.
And you also work in film though. Like, don't say yourself shot. But like,
I didn't do both.
Okay.
I just said film. And
I think it's because probably because film is your passion. I'm not sure if operations is your passion.
That goes exactly to the point that Sammy was making.
Like, yeah.
I think that we do follow our passions. Mm. And if we work in what we love, it just like works. But sometimes it's hard to get yourself to a point where you can do what you love.
Mm.
And you kind of have to go through the stages of growing the skills for what you love to do in other areas of life and other jobs before you can get to that kind of final stage for yourself. Mm,
absolutely. And I think like because we maybe as a generation are more inclined and we feel like we have more options available to us in like pursuing our passions. Like I know my parents, like my mom was really into the arts, but she ended up going into banking and finance. my dad, IT as well. And obviously they were immigrants, so they were looking for something secure, maybe something that could give them more stability. And I think that study I read about, it said something like, oh, this large percentage of Americans define their identity as what they work in. But then I was thinking, how many of those Americans actually care about what they're working in? And yet it still forms part of their identity. So I just thought it was interesting because for us, at least we all care about what we're going into. So yeah, there's like, it's a close association between that and how we define ourselves. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting.
I think work does have a big influence on our identity. And I feel like I look at like in social situations, especially if you're like catching up with someone and after a long time of seeing them and you go, how are you going? And then it's like, how's work going? Like it's literally like one of the first few questions that you ask someone. And because we spend so much time at work, like if you're working full time, it's 40 hours a week, which is a big chunk of your life. So I think, yeah, work is a big part of our identity, whether some people like it or not, depending on whether they're passionate about it. But yeah, I do think it forms a big part of our identity just because we spend so much time thinking about work and actually doing work.
And I feel like especially like a double degree law, commerce, law, arts, it's like 5.5 years you're spending at uni. Like you kind of want it to be at like the forefront, like when you introduce yourself, like, hi, I'm Isabel. If, you know, become a lawyer down the track, I'm a lawyer. Like you have spent that time at uni and so much effort is put into a degree.
Investment.
Like the amount of exams, even just the hex debt, like makes sense that it's like at the forefront of what you say
and you want to be proud to say
exactly.
it as well.
It's interesting because I actually am proud to say that I work in an accounting firm.
Oh my God, me too.
I love because a lot of people that I hang out with, not to dox my friends, like half of them, like some people I know our age don't have jobs and some people I know work in like fast food and supermarkets and there's nothing wrong with that. I worked in both McDonald's and Coles, but I don't know, I take a certain amount of pride in people asking what I do and going, oh, I work in an accounting firm.
People's reactions are quite interesting. Yeah. Like I quite often find people like, oh my God, I'm like, it's not that.
Do you get people asking you if you're an accountant? Do you then say that and then they go, oh, so you're an accountant?
I'm like, no. Definitely not.
Just because I work here doesn't mean that's what I
do. Yeah, but people's reactions are interesting.
That's cute.
Is my mic cutting out?
A little.
It's because you're far away.
It's because, sorry, you're
it's
enjoying
it. Okay,
yeah.
Don't move closer and then push the mic.
Is it fine?
Oh, okay.
Are we happy to move on to the next one?
Of course we can.
Okay, so I think we sort of touched on this at the beginning, but how important is it that your workplace aligns with your personal values?
I would say
it's really important. And I feel like we would all probably share the same view because we're at the start of our career. And I think because we've got so much autonomy at the moment with like planning our career, I think it's really important to align personal values just because of what's ahead of us. Like we've literally got like, what, 50 years of working full-time?
My gosh.
I know, and it's only going to increase from here, like how much time you spend at work. So I think that makes it even more important.
Yeah, and you don't want to be at work bored.
No.
Like, I can't do boredom.
Or like dreading going to work.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I almost get a little kick out of coming to work.
Oh, no,
like,
for sure.
Yeah. No, I do too.
Like, yeah, I get to see Sammy, like get to see Katie, Charlie, the whole legal team, and you guys, of course, but you're on the other side of the office.
You also don't see me.
Kane just changes days, so we get to see Surf.
Yeah.
But I'm swapping soon.
Oh. Yeah, but then we'll be swapping as well. Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
What day?
Big news. I think. Those days. Maybe.
I'm sure everyone would love
to. Yeah, everyone knows when Kate's waking up.
Yay. I can cut it out.
Going to personal values aligning with the workplace. Sorry, this reminds me. Izzy and I, or Izzy actually, did an event last year, so a networking event at uni, which she hosted, and it was wonderful. It was really well done. And I was in the audience, and it was a panel discussion with a few panelists, and Sophie Cohen from our legal team, director of Ancient Group Legal, was there along with some others. One of the questions that Izzy raised with the audience and the panelists was, what do you value or prioritize in a job? Like, what are you looking for? And I was one of the only people who said that I consider company culture or the values of a company at the top of my list. And I think it was two lawyers. It was Ruth and I think Ewan.
Yeah,
he was
Ewan.
Not a lawyer, but was there because he studied law. They were both kind of like, I remember, oh, really interesting that we got some people choosing that. I don't think it's I think because a lot of law students are looking for maybe work-life balance is a big one, which I think forms part of culture, but work-life balance, and it was stability, opportunities for progression. But I had chosen culture, which is important to me. But I think what Ruth was saying was, obviously when you meet or when you do an interview with a law firm, everyone is putting their best foot forward. Everyone's going to say, oh, we love work-life balance. We're going to give you so much freedom. We're going to give, there's so many opportunities to progress. And they were like, look, everyone's going to tell you they've got great values. That's not something you can gauge. I don't think that's something that maybe should be your absolute number one priority, which I thought was really interesting because obviously, yes, every company wants to put themselves in the best light. But I do think that working here, maybe my standards are a bit higher now.
You can gauge it though.
I think so as well, right?
You can see where community engagement is with the company, and you can see, even if you spend a little bit of time there, I knew maybe a month in working here that this was a company with good values.
Yeah, because when I first met you guys, so Kane wouldn't have been here because this was pre-Kane era and also pre-Sammy era, because I met the company at their end of financial year dinner. And I was, I was like you said, I could definitely gauge that there was a really good culture. Everyone was getting along so well. The music was great. I don't know whose playlist it was, but, I now know who was who, but I think at the time it was a few of, people from the accounting team were really dancing to, I don't think it was Panic at the Disco, but it was.
I hope it was Panic
at the Disco. It was either Panic at the Disco or it was Fall Out Boy, I think. And I was wow, I love this. And even just the personalities, everyone had a bunch of different, there was a wide variety of personalities. And when people would come up to the bar and order with me, I remember everyone was dressed really differently as well, because Tully was in her really cool, Tully style. And I was wow, I just really like this workplace. I thought you guys were really cool. So I definitely agree with Kane that it's definitely something you can gauge. I also do think that working here has set the bar a little higher for me.
My first week here was Culture Week, and we did the race.
You remember
a Culture Week race around the office. There was popping balloons and an egg and spoon.
It was Peter
I was on a team with Peter and James and Nadia.
Such a great team to be on.
It was
all the directors.
Insane. Yeah. We killed it.
They just adopted
it.
We
absolutely smashed it. Yeah. My first week here, I got a little trophy.
Wow.
On my desk. And
is
could
it still
see
there?
That, no, it's stuck in James's office collecting dust.
Wait, what happened?
I added my thing to it and no one else has, but that's okay. I didn't want them to anyway. I think we've done so many events since I've been here. We've done the tennis and the lawn bowls and stuff like that. And it's always so fun. Even when you weren't here, you weren't technically here. You were doing your internship and you still came to the tennis.
Because the culture is so warm. From home.
It's beautiful. It's fantastic really nice. Culture. Yeah. You like the people you work with, which makes work 10 times more fun because if you go for a walk to the kitchen to make a coffee, there's always someone there for a nice little chat. And I think that whilst, maybe it is a bit hard to engage from an outer perspective, if you give a company a chance and you kind of just start with them and trial, you can really gauge that. And I think that's something Gen Z does really well, is we kind of pick and choose depending on our values and what we think is right. Like if we find that the place we're working at that's is true. Not good for us, we'll leave and find somewhere else.
I think
else.
It's good to be picky.
Absolutely. It's fantastic to be picky.
I think
picky.
It's good
know
to
your
not
worth.
Resign yourself to something you hate for the rest of your life. Yeah. Like, no, like you said, know your worth, know what works for you. Don't be unhappy if you can help it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I say to Amy?
Yeah.
This is from TikTok. What you're not changing. Wait, what do I say to her?
I don't know. Girl. I'm on the other side
what,
of the desk.
What you're not
now.
Changing, you're choosing.
What?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's
true. That's really good.
Yeah. Like, if you're not happy in a job, then.
Yeah. Like, you have so much. Okay. Well, I don't want to say you have so much more power than you think you do, but.
No, you do.
But, okay. Like, within,
you're so right.
I agree because I say it and I, like, I know what I was coming from when I said it. But, like, obviously, there's some situations where people. Like we said last episode, may not have that flexibility or can't just easily walk away from a job even if they want to. But I think there is still a lot more autonomy than people reckon they do have. So yeah, like you have quite a bit of control over your life. Like I could have, I don't know, gone for a walk this morning. I didn't. I could have though. We're happy to move on to the next one, which is okay. We also went over that one, so I'll skip to. How important is flexibility in your ideal work environment, and what does workplace flexibility actually mean for you? Is it flexible hours, working from home opportunities, flexibility with self-expression and dress code?
Huge. Okay, you seem like huge. You have something.
I just thought dress code and flexible hours are a big one that comes to mind when this is brought up, because right now, as we're recording this episode, I'm in on a day that I'm not supposed to be in, that I chose to come in, and they were more than comfortable having me in to come help record this podcast. And I also am dressed in some of my favorite clothes, and I didn't get any slack about it because it's a company that embraces business casual, and we do casual Fridays, and it's a fantastic environment where you can express yourself through your clothing. Which is really important to me. So
self-expression.
I'm glad that we have that here.
Yeah, sorry, I just talked over
you. No, you're so fair.
But self-expression is really big for me. I think I was always a bit, I don't know if scared is the right word, but again, going back to that one unit I'm currently doing, critical management studies, there was a reading about how whether inclusion actually means like including people and the true essence of themselves, or whether they still have to toe the line between being just diverse enough to be diverse, but still being within, like, for example, company guidelines, even if they're not formally stipulated. So like, oh yeah, like I really like XYZ sort of clothing, but I have to maybe not what's the word, like alter it a bit to still fit in so it's not so out there. I mean, I think for Angel Group, as long as it's within dress code, there's nothing that's so out there. And the dress code is not expressed in a way to stifle individualism, apart from things like no slogans, which I just think is fair for a workplace. The things I sort of say are like you can't have, what is it, like off the shoulder tops, which fair enough, but other than that, there's nothing like you have to wear a tie or you have to wear like small print or anything. Self-expression is really big to me.
I feel like that also comes into like the client facing aspect. So much more inviting when you walk into a meeting room and your accountant comes in not in a suit and tie. I feel like there's a degree of like casual, like it's a bit more like homey almost. It doesn't feel so like, oh, I'm going to see my accountant, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, a little bit more relaxed. And I think that could definitely help make clients feel more comfortable.
Yeah, like dissolve the other, like,
I like a little like wall almost between like a lawyer and then like the client, especially because they're bringing in like expertise and like specialist knowledge, and you don't want to feel like, I don't know, you're being belittled or anything like that. I feel like that almost ties into that a little bit and just makes the client experience a little bit better.
Very human. It's very human when you can sit down with someone and they're also just dressed like any other person.
Yeah.
Not
in
some like billion-dollar cashmere suit that they're like, with their like one of a kind golden hair from Malaysia. You
know. Anyone in mind that you're describing?
No.
I actually do know, like when we had someone recently join the team, they complimented Tully's I feel like we always end up mentioning Tully a lot, at least I do, but do. Complimented Tully's the way Tully does her makeup. And they were like, oh, like at my previous workplace, like one of my friends there really likes this kind of makeup but wasn't allowed to wear it. And I was like, wow, that is just, I feel like, a very good example of, yeah, the flexibility that's afforded to us in this workplace, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. I think for me, flexibility, because I'm part-time, I'm really lucky. Like Aintree Group are just so supportive in terms of flexibility. I think for me at the moment it's being able to change, because I'm doing 4 days, it's being able to change my days if I've got commitments with uni. And then also typical hours are 9 to 5, but even just being able to come like 8:30 till 4:30 if I've got something on, or slightly changing my hours. Some days I do like a couple of hours less and then I just make it up throughout the week, and Amy's really trusting and supportive of that if I need to. So I think that's big. But then also working full time, which I'll be doing next year, I think it'll be having the opportunity to work from home when I need to, or if I need a day during the week. I think that's really big.
Yeah.
In terms of flexibility.
They're so fantastic with the student.
Yeah. And I'm going away for 6 weeks next month.
Yeah, same. So we're going to Europe for 4 weeks.
We're so lucky they've been so supportive.
And like I go and have a chat with Katie about it, and like she's not like getting all stingy about like how many weeks. She's like, oh my God, where are you going? Like, it's so like nice to have that really good. That connection, especially with like your manager, who's technically like your superior, but like having those like casual, like friendly chats with them, I really appreciate. And it also just makes you feel a bit more at ease, especially because we are all part-time and also studying uni and, you know, handling, you know, living out of home for me and Kane. And it's nice to have that support from your manager. So really appreciate Katie for that. Shout out.
And Andrea. Andrea's amazing.
Shout out to everyone.
It's so nice.
Very lucky.
It's so nice being able to come in and, like, chat about uni or, like, life or stuff with like you or Amy or anyone in our operations team, and then
get all the goss.
Like, not even just goss, just like life stuff. Like in my old office, like where I used to work, it wasn't an office. I don't know why I said that. Where I used to work, like I'd do fun stuff through film or through school, and I'd want to come in and tell people about it, but it's so like under the pump. You couldn't take time to talk to anyone.
It'd be like a little secret.
But here,
I feel like it's been a little bit like that the last few weeks.
No, but even still, like on Monday, I was able to come in, do my thing, like lock in, but also like take 2 minutes to be like, Amy, you want to hear about this music video I worked on a week ago? And like she'll always up for listen. A chat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I literally just showed Tully and Jess my new air fryer.
I said I was going to bring up the air fryer, and Izzy's like, don't bring up my new air fryer.
I actually do need a new air fryer.
Just
too.
FYI, that happened like minutes before this recording started. I'm so excited that Izzy has
but it's so nice to just
do you
like
show us.
Show the camera.
My phone is the camera.
Oh, it's really nice. Philips something air tech. Yes.
Oh.
What does that mean?
Okay.
Oh
my gosh, I had a
sorry, I like I completely diverted with my air fryer.
With the flexibility point where we were talking about flexibility, like I think Izzy was saying, having that relationship with your superior where you can sort of talk and disclose that you're going to be away for a while is really reassuring. I don't know about you guys, but when I've worked hospo in the past, I was so scared to take leave.
Yeah.
Like you would be like, they're going to cut me loose if I'm gone for more than like a week. Or like if I would say,
like,
hey.
Hospo jobs are so intense.
Right, like can't do Saturday night. And they'll be like, okay.
And
same
as retail.
Yeah. Literally terrifying. Like, oh my God, retail. Like okay, you're taking the weekend off. Okay, better quit. Like, it's so
you're no longer part of
like
us.
A different person.
Yeah, it's so weird though, because you're actually doing like less. You know, like you don't need really much experience to work at fast food or retail.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's a pretty
you're doing a lower
job.
Level job, and then there's so much more put on you.
Yeah,
it's really
and especially most of the time people are casual.
Yeah,
so, I think that's part of why as well.
Yeah,
it's weird. I still like I've worked at Aintree for almost a year now.
Oh,
getting close.
Really?
Getting close. It's weird. A couple months off. But even though I've like not worked in my retail / customer service jobs in ages, I still have those fears when I'm here.
Like I remember when I asked time off for, I don't know what it was. I think it was just like a study leave for like 2 weeks. Oh no, I went interstate with my family for like 5 days.
so scared to tell them. I was like, Katie. And she was like, oh my gosh, where are you going? That's so exciting. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay. It's okay.
Yeah, you breathe. And now you feel way more comfortable just going like, I need to swap these days because, you know, I want to go away. I think especially for us, like the people that work part-time and at uni, they're definitely more flexible with and,
I think much it also appreciated. Comes down to trust as well. Like if you've got a good employee that you know they're going to get shit done when it needs to get done, then...
Absolutely. Yeah. Like we're not skipping because we hate work.
No. There's a level of commitment. And so I think trust is a big thing in terms of flexibility.
It's huge. I literally came in last week, this time last week, and I came in and I was sick and I went through like half a shift. You were too. You pushed yourself too hard.
Yeah, I know.
I told Amy halfway through the day. Sorry for just dipping that day too.
Oh, no, that's fine. Amy texted me when I was at the post office.
Oh, okay. I'm glad someone told you because I was going to wait and then she was like, no, just go home.
Yeah.
But I got to like halfway, maybe three quarters through the day and I just texted my manager through our Teams app and I was like, hey, I'm so sick. Can I go home? And she was like, why did you even come into work? They're so patient and so understanding. It is like, to put it in one word, it's just very human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, especially, well, I have more knowledge in the legal team, but if Tully or Katie is sick away, it's such a team effort of like picking up the slack where it's needed. And, you know, I think we do it really well speaking, you know, for the legal team. And, Sammy and I help out where we can, what we can with. But, I think it's such a nice, like, team environment and, like, the trust is there to if you need to have a day off, like, the work will still get done between you.
I think it's the same here. I think – and feel free to tell me otherwise, but I feel like when you went and did your internship, I don't feel like there was an element of I need to teach you this and this and this. I think you just trusted the team. To leave and know that everything was going to be done and the things that maybe you were specialised in weren't just going to fall apart.
We're also backed by like a really, I'm not sure how to describe it, but like the procedures we have in place, the way we do, like all of that stuff that goes on behind the scenes that I think they work tirelessly on.
But we also just have a crazy team. Like our team is insane.
What do you mean?
like
AG
good,
generally?
Good insane. Like, like the accounting operations. I feel like if I don't finish something or I like need to go home because I'm sick because I can't do something, I don't even have to think or have a second thought that things might not get done. Like when I left on that Friday, I knew that we're going to be able to handle the afternoon checklist and all the other stuff that we have to do at the end of the day because I know that you're a capable employee.
Just get it done.
Exactly.
Being productive. Motto.
I hope that it's the same for you. Like if you need to go home, you know that I can just clean up.
We might move on. okay. Just because I feel like we did stick with that point for a very long time, which is fine. But anyway.
I haven't used this at all today. I'm really mad.
So we've got some choices. We've got some more work-related ones. I'm quite drawn to the question of how we feel growing up with social media has shaped the way we see ourselves. But I do understand that it's a bit different from the rest of the questions.
What a question.
So would we like to tackle that one just for like some variety? Or would we want to go back?
And then I have one that I want to ask.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so scared. Why don't you like look at me when you're saying that? It's like, Sammy?
It's on the piece of paper.
Okay. Do we want to talk about social media just briefly? If we can be brief with it.
Yeah.
We've got
20 seconds.
Time.
9 minutes.
Heaps of time.
Okay. Anyone want to
What was the question
off?
Exactly?
So,
or just
how
social
do
media
think,
question mark.
How do you think growing up with social media has shaped the way you see yourself and the world around you?
I think, you know, coming from studying journalism, I'm inclined to say that the way we consume news has definitely changed from the, you know, getting like current affairs issue. That was not English.
Journalism?
You said getting current affairs issue.
Learning about like current affairs is not really done through like morning shows or like just satellite TV, no newspapers, and it's very much based on social media and, you know, podcasts now. I know people that I study with listen to like daily podcasts.
Plant Grow Reap?
I should get them on it. But it's definitely like changed the way that you see the world. Like you don't get up and have a coffee and read the newspaper. Like you get up, you have a coffee and you scroll on your phone. I don't know whether that's your consuming news or your, you know, just checking what just people are up to.
Just the real scroll.
And just even that like connection you have with other people through like Instagram, you get to see where your primary school best friend is, if she's traveling or if she's at work or it's such a nice way to actually still connect. So that's like positive, I think, of social media.
Yes. The what you said about being the ability to connect with people who you may otherwise not be in the immediate vicinity of. Sort of as a counterpoint, like I don't disagree with you. I think that's great okay. because there are so many people I know that like I'm really close with but I never get to see them. But I am someone I think who's not the best at attending to social media. Like I sort of will go to it if I'm like really bored or if I like I want to distract my mind. But otherwise like I do find it's hard to get out of once you start like being in it. Mm-hmm. So like I personally have a screen time blocker because I need to lock in, right? Like when I need to lock in, you need to lock in. But I also think that with that I don't particularly enjoy the pressure that comes from feeling like you have to be immediately available or immediately reachable at all times. Yeah. Like if someone really needs me, I, you know, like I think my close friends know that I'll pick up or I'll call back if it's urgent. But if someone's like texting me and I'm like not responding within like 2 days, I hate that pressure. The pressure to like get on.
I feel like I pressure you because you always have do not disturb on and I go notify anyway.
Do you actually?
I didn't know that was a thing you could do.
I thought I just changed my like setting so you bypassed that. But no, I didn't. No. Nice to know that you've actually been bypassing yourself.
Yes. Important that we don't come to work in the same stripy cardigan again.
A fun fact is Izzy and I actually matched the other day and we looked like
twins.
We looked really silly.
I think I've done this thing recently to disconnect from social media where I bought a charger for my phone, but it's really, really short. So So when I plug my phone on charge, I'm either having to sit really uncomfortably in this nook in the corner on my floor, which I don't do because it's horribly uncomfortable, or I just leave it and go about my day and come back to it in maybe an hour or so when I feel like it's charged enough. And that is so – that's really helped me with that constantly feeling like I need to be available thing.
Yeah,
I've also just stopped working on other people's timelines. I posted a music video that I was a part of yesterday.
I saw that. It looked great. Actually, know
that
the artist.
Came out like, oh, what the fuck? That's crazy.
For like a friend of a friend. Like we had like a bunch of mutual.
Yeah,
wait, I've heard of this
arrow.
Person.
Yeah,
anyway, sorry, go on.
But that came out weeks ago or like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And I just haven't felt like posting it.
Yeah.
I've been really running on my own schedule recently on social media while I get my life and my house in check, and it's actually been like the healthiest thing that I've ever done because I'm not just sitting on my phone waiting for people to text or like spamming people or feeling like I need to be posting stuff because my phone's not on me.
And I feel like especially in the field, the prospective fields that we're wanting to go into, it's probably not as like important. Like I know in marketing you need to like have that engagement with your clientele, so it's important to, you know, be engaged on social media, but you know, just for us, it's for just us, for personal use. There's not really a, you know, need. Well, so there is
speak for yourself.
Yeah.
My portfolio lives on my Instagram.
Yeah, but that's also for your engagement. Like that's for, you know, your work prospects. My Instagram has photos of me traveling. I don't think that's gonna help anyone.
I've been trying to mix it healthily.
Yeah.
Like I've been trying to do a bit of, but that's another thing. You actually just raised a point that I was gonna mention before. You were mentioning your best friend or like primary school best friend on holiday and just being able to connect. But on social media we only see what people want us to see. So I only post photos that I feel like I look good in, or if they're like visually like if the environment is really pretty or something like that, I only post those kinds of photos. That's so subjective because that's not what my life looks like every 2 seconds. No, you're good. Feel free to cut in.
No, you finish.
It's the same with the music videos I post. That's, funnily enough, the exact same thing. I only post snippets or in this kind of industry, you only post stills that are really, really nice and visually appealing shots.
Fair enough.
Because that's what you want people to see. You don't want people to see that one shot where the focus wasn't 100% right or that one shot where it was a bit shaky, you want them to see the eye catches, which is what social media is.
Yeah. Someone said this to me last week, I can't remember who, and they said nothing is as good as it seems and nothing's as bad as it seems.
Exactly.
I feel like it's so applicable to social media because it's obviously a highlight reel. But then it's also the flip side if you're seeing like current affairs and news through your TikTok feed or your Instagram or whatever.
They need a hook.
It's the hook. So it's, nothing's as good as it seems.
Well, like the news industry, it's still like business. They still need to like make money.
And they like the drama.
Yeah,
that's
literally
all of like.
Well, I literally have a subject that's like practical journalism and it's getting that hook. Like, and I'm trying to write a heading that's not so like
a sizzling
catfishy almost. Yeah. And then they're like, no, that's not good. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's like, the exact same for film or music. Like if those first couple shots aren't super engaging or like if you're doing a feature film, if that first like 10, 20 minutes isn't super eye-catching or like the story isn't really clicking for you, especially with the attention span of our generation, people will just turn it off and they won't care.
Well, that is the problem with it. It's become like such a scrolling generation. Like TikTok, it's a 15-second little highlight reel or a 15-second snippet of an interview with somebody that's, you know, something's happened and you don't really get the full picture. Like, I mean, newspaper also was only a snippet. Like,
it's selective.
But it is very selective.
Like a story. It's like the story they want to sell.
Yeah.
Which I understand. And I don't think it's exclusive to your industry, like what you were saying about people choosing the best. Like, I mean, even if you come across like any company, they're going to take like the testimonials that put them in the best light, obviously. Like they're not going to take bad reviews. Social media definitely exacerbates that, I think. But otherwise, do you think it's like a reiteration of something that's already been happening in history and just the way the working world sort of operates.
Did we want to end it off with Sophie's question?
Yes.
Do you remember
it's
your
on
question?
It's on the piece of paper. When I was reading it before this, I was like, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Do you feel optimistic or uncertain about the future?
I was going to ask this.
I think it's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic question.
Anyone, do you want to start or are you like wanting to hear?
No, I want to hear.
Oh, okay.
I'm interested.
Who wants to go first?
I work in film, so I'm very, very skeptical of the future. I just found a website called Sora, which is AI attached to ChatGPT that does pictures and videos.
Yeah.
And they're scarily good. Terrifyingly good, which has made me very nervous for the future of my career. But also we have some people in positions of power across the world that I don't have aligned values with that scare me a little bit. So not really too hopeful for the future. I'm kind of just trying to take it day by day.
I think I am with you on both of those points. I personally don't use AI really, if I can help it, I don't really, because I think I've grown up a very creative person. I've always prided myself in my literary abilities, I suppose. Like I write a lot, I read a lot, I make a lot of art. So the idea that AI can sort of do all of that is really scary, although I do have my doubts as to whether AI can do all of it because I've read some
scary
writing, which I would say has not been very good. But I agree with you, like especially on the art point. Even just like the fact that they're reproducing essentially what's already been produced. So maybe even if artists stop creating original art now, there's still all this art that's already been made that's still existing in the world that they can just keep remaking and reproducing and reinventing, which is a bit grim. So I agree with you on both those points. Those makes me a little scared. But otherwise, like from a personal perspective, like where I am in my life right now, where I'm walking towards, I think I'm somewhat optimistic. Like I don't think I'm on the wrong path and I do like get excited about living. I heard it in my brain. I went, oh, that's going to sound so, I genuinely like, do you know what he means? Like
I feel
like
every young. I just don't like.
No, for sure. But like we're at like that point where it's like, wow, I really like the hashtag world is my oyster. Like, I'm going to grab my life by its reins. We're really going to.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Okay. I don't know if you guys know what I mean. But
no, I do. Yeah, no,
look out, like, world. Like, Sammy's coming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, I get so excited. I get so excited over it. I'm like, oh, no, my gosh.
I agree. Yeah. I feel like when I read this question, I took a different approach to Kane, and I probably put aside the world issues at the moment. But now that I have been enlightened to that lovely
there was aspect, a back burner.
I was
my thingy for that.
yeah, no, I definitely agree that there are some leaders at the moment I don't have aligned views with as well. But I was thinking of this question a little bit more optimistically. And I was thinking about how we, like, in the legal industry, how we are actually using and adapting to using AI within the profession rather than just worried about it taking over, because I don't think that personally, I don't think it's going to take over, because I think you need that personal connection with clients and actually understanding that human, like, relationship between, like, a family, a company, and the actual personal relationships within that. And yeah, even having our AI dojo sessions and actually improving our ability to use AI is making me more optimistic rather than, you know, hesitant, because we're actually gaining the knowledge to use AI in a way that's going to assist us rather than take over what we're doing. So I think that keeps me optimistic rather than.
I'm just interested to what happened to, like, having a good think. Like, what happened to having a good
think? What happened to having a plan?
From what I hear from not people in the office, but people in a general sense, is that people use AI for, like,
everything,
the easiest things. And I'm like, what just happened to having a think? Plotting for 2 minutes.
Plotting.
When you go to the shops, if I want to make a cake, I don't need to go on to ChatGPT and go, what are the ingredients for a cake? I can think about them, or call my friend, or call my mom, or
Google.
I think a big point is that, like, Googling is a lot less environmentally damaging than using ChatGPT.
Yeah. Oh yeah, way less.
And you're also, like, supporting author of recipes. But I agree with you.
Everyone around us knows things that we might not, so it doesn't hurt to call a friend and have an ask.
Yeah, but that's, like, a personal thing. What if you – I can't come up with an example, but what if something really niche you needed to know, like
– Google it. Do some research. What happened to research and thinking? You're a lawyer.
Okay. It's getting a little too discursive. Okay. But I will say, like, I agree with your point that it does – I was surprised by how much it actually is used. Like, I was at uni on, I think it was Monday. I was walking from, you guys want to know this, this is Campus Center in Monash, and I was, like, literally leaving, like, from the subway area going towards LTB. And I heard three conversations talking about ChatGPT as I was literally leaving. Like, it was like a 20-minute span.
So much.
And someone was like, it was a conversation between you guys, two guys. One of them was like, oh, but did you write it or did chat write it? And then the next blah, 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 like 2 seconds later, someone's talking
especially
about, like,
in the
oh,
uni
then
environment.
I just chat GPT'd it. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah,
wow.
Like, it's so yeah, and it's a verb now. I chat GPT'd it.
I chatted it. Yeah.
I chatted it. Like,
we don't have any AI at my school because obviously it's an art school. Mm. But we have our lecturers use, like, 10 different AI checking softwares to see if there's AI used. And if you get it, you get so heavily demarked that you're most likely to fail the class.
Well, yeah. That's funny. At, like, for law school, it can, lessen your chances of getting admitted as a solicitor or a barrister. Yeah. So it can really affect your profession.
Yeah.
But I do agree. Sorry?
No, I was just going to ask what Sophie thought. You asked the question. You didn't get the time to.
I feel like I have two different.
You've heard everything now.
Yeah, I know. I feel like similar to you guys, though, there's, like, more of a global perspective and then a personal perspective. Like, on a global perspective, I feel like it's quite a turbulent time. And
that's the best way
changing.
To say it.
It's really, like, there's a lot of uncertainties at the moment with, I don't know, leaders, climate change, AI is pretty scary, and, like, where does it stop? Sorry. Yeah. And I feel like no one really knows where it's going. So I think that's scary. But then also when you look back at history, like, there is always fluctuations in uncertainty, and there's always, you know, things happening.
Yeah.
The human race will prevail.
Yes. And I also think because of social media and the internet, we're seeing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you compare it to, I don't know, 50 years ago, we weren't people weren't saying as much. Yeah,
you just went about your day, went and bought milk.
But we just have so much. Yeah. We have so much access to information and what's going on around us, which is,
It is. Sure,
but then on a personal perspective, I'm really optimistic about the future.
Yeah. And
I'm just having so much fun. So, I've got a lot of good things ahead of me.
Maybe I'll backtrack and agree with the both of you and just reflect on my actual personal life.
Kay went, how can I give the most depressing answer?
I may be sad in the room, but I moved into a house on last Tuesday with two fantastic people. The house is beautiful. My roommates are amazing.
And they're designers or interior.
One of them is a production designer in film.
You have to take photos for us.
Other is an art creator. So they're both very fantastically talented
people.
So
do you have a really bougie house now?
It's so gorgeous. The living room is the most cozy thing in the world. And the environment is so warm and welcome. Anyone I've had over has said that they want to just come over, not even for me, just to come over.
Just hang out.
So I get that. And then I've also got this beautiful job with fantastic people that I get to work with. Mm. And I'm also coming up in the film industry.
Yeah.
So life is good and I am optimistic for the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you
apologies
could recover.
For my, my terrifying response to start.
I don't want to like dampen the mood again. because we moved away from AI, but I was just thinking.
That was possible.
The other day I was talking about this with my parents and my dad was like, for sort of entry level jobs, so the sort of careers that maybe we are starting in, or like jobs you can get while you're working in uni, whether it be like legal assistant or like intern or like coordinator or things like that. My dad was basically like, a lot of these jobs are, like you said, obviously the whole industry is not becoming replaceable, but some of these more smaller tasks are becoming replaceable, which sort of raises the bar for the skill level required from graduates or I guess from students. I think we're lucky to be at a time where we're working with AI rather than like under AI. So we're not feeling maybe that like that stress yet. But I'm like, I don't know, my sister, maybe if she comes to a time in like a few years where she wants to get into a job, like a lot of tasks that she would be doing now replaced by AI. And like, does that sort of disqualify her from like entering these sort of jobs when she's studying? So that scares me a bit for her. Yeah. But, you know, for me, life's great.
even in that AI masterclass we had earlier, they were saying that the skill level for software engineers coming in has to be so much higher now because of the level that AI can code, not just manual labor. So it's interesting and kind of a little scary in that way, a little daunting, but maybe I'm also not going into software engineering, so that's okay.
We should wrap up because of the construction that is starting next door.
I was wondering what that was. Yeah. I was like, someone's scratching at the door.
Someone's like, wants to get in right now.
Any points anyone wanted to bring up?
Sophie, did you have something?
I was about AI. I was just about to say, I'm really glad we didn't really have AI when we're in high school.
Oh my god, true.
No one would have done a
thing.
And
then 12 exams, it's all written and printed. So
absolutely.
Well, I wonder if that will change, like if it's going to be
if
like
they start doing exams online that are typed and have the ability to use AI, I will
But I think it's even more important now to have handwritten assessments.
Agreed. People can't write nowadays.
Because the level of education
to have. Be able to write.
But even like the physicality of writing,
like a pen.
Like people cannot write with a pen nowadays. Yeah. They're so used to like in primary school now they're using iPads.
Yeah.
And in high school it's straight to computers. No one's actually writing anymore.
Yeah. Like I remember when I was in prep there was 4 computers in the class.
Oh my god. Same. And it would be like those big desktop. And we had like IT class.
We had IT class.
And touch typing. Did you guys do touch typing?
Touch typing.
Yes. It was the game.
And you had to like, I can.
And there was like a frog or something.
Did you guys have pen licenses?
Yes.
Did you get your pen license?
I failed mine.
I was about to say.
Oh, what does that mean?
I've seen Kane's handwriting.
You suck.
Did you get yours like in prep or something?
Actually, I didn't get
mine. Okay, so just before you finish that, let's wrap. No, I'm joking.
Can wrap up. Anything else? Anything else to add?
I'd like to add that I actually have fantastic handwriting.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Guys, I think we did so well today. talked about the topic.
We haven't
finished. We actually didn't
yet.
Like go on a tangent this time. Well, a little bit. Definitely a lot about AI. We really delved into that topic.
I think it's important. For
absolutely,
us
to topical,
talk about.
Especially as Gen Z.
Yeah,
it's like very much.
Yep.
I think the others generation. Might laugh at us for talking about how we used computers back in the day.
I am
they're
worried.
Probably like.
I am worried that you do use it for stuff like cake recipes. I think you should buy a cookbook.
Isn't that just the same as Googling?
No, I do think it's because like what if weren't they just
because of the server usage?
This was the first time I did it.
And the carbon emissions.
Yeah, no, my
won't they just combine a bunch of recipes anyway? Like, wouldn't you be better?
I'm not
gonna
lie, I didn't use it. I went to Google, guys. Like, hey, don't worry.
Hey, well done.
But yeah,
it's
for that kind of stuff. I Google because.
It's smarter.
Okay, I'm getting like the side eye.
There's also, the processing power for AIs
it's
like ChatGPT to even just
so
process.
And it uses a lot of water, which I had no
way
idea of.
Yeah, because it cools
it.
Yeah.
My mom works for a water company and she was telling me how much water it uses. And I was like, I wouldn't have even thought that. Like, it's just on the internet.
Because
you think
maybe
I'm
just
cooling
nowadays,
but it's not.
Oh, I'm just oblivious maybe, but I should probably...
So if you guys don't know,
not on ChatGPT.
Yeah, Google.
Google it.
Or go to the library
and find a
book.
Just Google.
What's wrong with the library?
Nothing. I'm saying go to the library and find a book. I'm not dissing you. I'm being real.
Okay. He's being real.
I will.
Yeah, Kane's really into reading recently. So
yeah, I read books, guys.
He's like illiterate.
So. No, it was the, what was it?
So I cannot write
the book
or
club
read,
book.
Oh,
to Sammy.
Is this no? What did you read recently?
The book club book.
The tale.
Is it
by the Cthulhu
Herb
mythos
yes.
by H.P. Lovecraft?
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And I don't condone his behavior as a human being, but I like the book.
Yes. Okay.
Value.
Okay. We actually. I feel really bad.
I'm
thinking Millie's.
I'm hungry.
Oh,
it's lunchtime.
Okay. It's lunchtime.
Wow.
It's lunchtime.
Oh,
we are 15 minutes
I can
over.
Come on lunch with you guys.
Well,
yay.
Yes. One of us maybe.
Yeah.
I have to.
Anyway.
okay.
Wrap it up before we.
We're wrapping it up, everyone.
Yeah.
So we'll wrap it up there. Thank you for listening to Plan Grow Reap. We'll chat again soon. Make sure to listen to us anywhere you can get your podcasts.
Thanks.
Thanks.
For
Thanks.
Us.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye.